Well, good morning, Pastor Mike. Thank you so much. Man, what a privilege it is to be here this morning. And I came by myself. My family and I, we've been traveling quite a bit this past month. And in about a week or so, we have another 3,000 miles to put on. So we just said, this weekend, why don't you just stay home? We're trying to move. And so kind of a lot going on right now. So in the last 2 weeks, I hit a deer. And on the way here, I hit a turkey. So... And I didn't have a take for either, but that's my first turkey. I've never been turkey hunting, so that was my first turkey, and the first deer with my car. But, man, those are things you don't plan, and the turkey didn't know damage, but the car totaled the car, and so we've been kind of in limbo trying to figure out things. I'm using my grandma's vehicle this weekend, and we're from Superior, and as Mike said, where the youth pastor's there for 7 years. My wife, I think we got a picture. My wife, Carolina, since she's not here, let me introduce them to you. There's my wife, Carolina. She's from Mexico originally. And our two children, Kaylee and Noah. And we have a third one due in November that we get to take back with us to Mexico. And so thank you. It's been our privilege to serve as missionaries in Mexico, and I'll share some about that. I'll give you a little bit of background, share about our ministry in Mexico, and then I'd like to challenge you with a message. We were talking about how much time I have. He said, if we go at 12:15, they'll be cutting it, my mic will just turn off, but no worries, I don't think we'll even hit noon, so we'll be done before then. As Pastor said, I served at Central Assembly in Superior for 7 years. I served as a youth pastor, and it's where I grew up. I'm from Superior, so I grew up attending that church. And ever since I was a child, I knew that God had called me to be a missionary. I don't think I thought of it in those terms, but I just knew, and I remember thinking that when I grow up, I'm going to be a missionary. And gave to BGMC, and missions was very much a part of our church. And those were the years where service was 2.5 to 3 hours on Sunday morning. We didn't have children's church, and so many of our Sunday morning services for me was spent under the pews, either daydreaming or sleeping. But we had to be at church because we were the good Christian family in church, so we had to be there Sunday night as well. It was during those services that we had missionaries come and speak. Sometimes Sunday mornings, but oftentimes Sunday evenings, the missionaries would come into town, share. And those were the services that grabbed my attention. I loved hearing their stories. I loved hearing a couple of the phrases of the language they had to learn, or the food that they had to try, or the food they had to eat on a consistent basis as they met with people in their homes. And God just continued to give me this desire to be a missionary. When I was old enough to start attending youth group, I was involved very much in our youth ministry and worship team and all sorts of different things, and just loved being at the church. Wasn't always a good boy, but I still had this desire and loved being at the church and being involved. And it was during those years, begin to go on short-term mission trips. And God used those experiences in youth ministry and on those mission trips to continue to cultivate in me this heart for the nations, this love for other cultures, and this desire to be a missionary. And again, I just knew, even as a teenager, even in those moments where I wasn't serving the Lord, I still was drawn to that call that God had placed on my life. And then I entered in my young adult years, knew that, again, that this is the future God has for me. And I didn't know when that was going to happen. I met my wife in 2007, and then we were married in 2009. It will be 10 years this year. And it was after we got married that we stayed in Superior and started as the youth pastor, started that position there. And so for 7 years, we were there, but knowing all along that this is not where we're going to stay, we knew that God was calling us into missions. And so I think every year I went to my pastor during those 7 years, I said, Pastor, I think this is the year that we're going to go. And because this desire was so strong in our hearts, and knowing that that's where God was calling us. But each year, we just didn't feel a peace about leaving. We desired to go, but we didn't have this peace about leaving. And so year after year, I had the same conversation with my pastor, and he probably thought I would never go because we kept, you know, every year had the same conversation. But eventually in 2016, we began that journey as missionaries. And it's been a privilege to be able to be sent out by our church, the church I grew up, and then also by so many of our churches in this district. We have a great missions district that understands missions and supporting missions. And I want to commend you for the missions, the missionaries that you support, the missions giving that you are a part of, because you are sharing in the fruit of the ministry all over the world when you invest in missionaries. And was looking at the missionaries you support, many of them, I know some of them, a few of them I don't, but God is using these missionaries in great ways and all over the world, and you have a part in that. And so thank you so much for giving to missions. While serving in Mexico, we were in Mexico City, and we served along veteran missionaries, Peter and Dahlia Bright, and with them, we assisted the national church, the Mexican Assemblies of God, with a church planting initiative called Vision 2020. And through this initiative, we're seeing many workers, national Mexican people, receive church planting training and dozens of new churches being started. God is doing such great things in this area of just re-emphasizing the need of reaching people through planting churches. It's something the national church hasn't done for many years. In some districts throughout Mexico, haven't planted churches for 20 years. And so God is kind of revitalizing this passion and this vision that we need to plant churches, because churches are closing, but we're not starting any new churches. And so just this, it's really a fun time, an exciting time to be a part of the ministry there in Mexico, as this vision and this passion is being revitalized in many of our leaders. Recently, at a celebration service of Vision 2020, 109 workers were recognized for completing the training. And I'll explain the training in just a moment. And out of that 109 workers, 16 new churches were planted. That was the last cycle that we just completed. But the real exciting celebration that took place was when the new believers of these newly planted churches were water baptized. Because that's what it's all about. And training workers and planting churches, both of these are very important. But the purpose is to reach those who are living apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what we get to be a part of. Let me explain just a little bit of how Vision 2020 works. This initiative is a training initiative. It's and it's the Vision 2020 has nothing to do with planting a certain number of churches by the year 2020. It's about making sure we're aligned with God's vision for the city, for Mexico City. What is God wanting to do? And it was birthed out of needing to plant churches, but what kind of churches does God want us to plant? How does he want us to reach people? And what kind of church planters does God want? And so it had nothing to do with planting a number of churches by a certain year, but rather always coming back and realigning ourselves with God's vision. What is God's 2020? What is his clear vision? We need to make sure God has a vision. We need to make sure we're aligned with that and make sure we're doing what God has called us to do. And so that was the purpose of Vision 2020. And so this initiative, we have training modules where we train national workers, Mexican people, to plant churches. And so these are done in monthly modules. So there are 12 modules, one module a month. They come one day a month, and they receive training. It's over typically on a Saturday, but we had 8 locations, so some of them were at different times or different days of the week. But they would come, these students would come once a month, receive the training, and the training is very practical church planting training. It's not theological training. There are Bible institutes, and we encourage our students to go through the Bible Institute as well. But this just provides the church planting training part of you know, just preparing these workers. And so they come, receive the training, and by the next module, when they come back the following month, there are some things that they need to do. Because when they come back, they fill out a report that shares the contacts they made, how many contacts they made, if they had any new people join small groups, any new believers and new leaders in your group. Are you training new leaders? Just different things, different benchmarks that we're looking at to see how, to see if they're actually doing the work, if they're reaching people. And some are doing incredible jobs reaching people. Others are a little bit more timid and they don't get quite out there. That's why we have 109 workers go through the training, but 16 churches planted. And so, but we're constantly encouraging these students to say, this training is not for another certificate on the wall. This is to plant the church and to reach people. And so it's encouraging when we see these students, these workers, going out and making contacts with people in their neighborhood and inviting them and having meals with them and having services or having small groups and Bible studies in their home that eventually outgrows their space in their living room and they have to meet in a rented space. The students involved in the program are students that we don't recruit. So the pastors of our Assemblies of God churches identify people in their congregation whom they believe God has a call upon their life to plant and pastor a church. And that pastor then invites them to participate in the training. And so we provide the training. We don't recruit the students. The students come. And this is a really important aspect of the program because that pastor then serves as the student's mentor as they go through the training and as they plant that church. And so we work very closely with the Mexican Assemblies of God. And that's, I'll just stop and emphasize that as Assemblies of God missionaries, that is the philosophy of Assemblies of God World Missions. That if there is a national church that exists, that the missionary doesn't go and do their own thing, but rather they partner with that national church and we work alongside them. Because eventually missionaries, they leave, or there's a point if they stay for a lifetime, they retire and they're gone. And so ministry that will last beyond the missionary is the missionary who is willing to work with the national church. But that becomes a challenge because of all the cultural differences. And sometimes it becomes very messy working and it can be slower. And so missionaries have a tendency oftentimes to try to go around the national church and do their own thing. And so I just share that because be sure that when you're looking at missionaries, that they're working with the national church. And I know there's a lot of different missions organizations out there. It's so important that our missions dollars goes to those people, to the missionaries and the missionary families who are working closely with the national church. Sometimes the fruit of the ministry is slower, but it's lasting. And so I just wanted to emphasize that for just a moment. We also helped plant a church through Vision 2020 alongside a Mexican brother who was going through the training. And we just basically, we picked this guy because he lived near where we lived. Mexico City is 26 million people. And so just to decide to work in some area could take you a long time to get there. So we picked a guy who was working near where we lived. And week after week, we in this community, we saw new people come, give their hearts to the Lord, begin their journey with Christ and their discipleship. Just really exciting. But when we began this work in this community, our most faithful attenders were children. The children came every single week. We always had a handful of adults, but then we had the children, and the children were there. Sometimes they came with their parents, but oftentimes they just came alone. And so we decided, we planted that church in the fall, and when Christmas time came, we had a Christmas party for the kids. And really it was for the entire family, but more focused on the kids. We had a piñata, and we had lots of candy. We played games, and actually we cooked a turkey dinner, mashed potatoes, everything, which was really special for this community, the people of our new faith community that were attending the church, because we were in a poor area, but not the poor of the poorest. We were in an area that was that were lower economically, and they wouldn't be able to have a Christmas dinner like the one we provided, or to even buy a piñata and have candy for their kids, which is very normal to have a piñata at Christmas time and on Christmas Eve. The kids go out there and hit the piñata late at night. But in this community, these families didn't have money to do that. So it was very special and just really a great time with this new community of believers. And by the time we left, after all these months, we began to see real consistency with not just children come, but families coming, parents coming with their children week after week. We had seen new people come every week, but we began to be really encouraged as we saw people coming back and back again and again and again, and they begin to just really grow in their walk with the Lord. And so the space, we've had to keep reworking the space because we're meeting in a house, a vacant house in that community, and so trying to rework the space to fit people in there, but the church is growing and God is working and changing people's lives. You know, when we were there, we were there for 2 years, and we had been praying during that whole time that God would give us clear direction for long-term service. Where does God want us to be? What does he want us to do? And it became very clear to us that God was calling us to a specific area in Mexico. And so when we return to Mexico, we'll be working in central Mexico. This is an area that has been referred to as the heart of darkness. 22 million people live in these six states that make up this heart of darkness. But this area, 22 million people, is one of the least evangelized regions in Latin America. Less than 2.5% evangelical believers in this area, the heart of darkness. This part of the country is very religious. There are many strong traditions. It's a beautiful part of the country in regards to culture, but it is in desperate need of churches, of not only churches, but strong, healthy, reproducing churches who reflect Christ's love in these communities all over the heart of darkness. And specifically, our hope is to plant a church in the city of Aguascalientes. Aguascalientes is right at the center of Mexico. In fact, if you walk around the city downtown, you'll see Aguascalientes, the heart of Mexico, el corazón de México. So it's just pretty much right at the center of Mexico. So our hope is to plant a church when we return. In addition to that, we already have a growing relationship with the district leadership there and working with them to train church planters. And so when we get there, we'll be able to jump right into that. But over time, as we meet people and as we develop relationships, our hope is to then plant a church that is strong, healthy, and reproducing. The city that we're working in is about 1.2 million people. We have found 20 evangelical churches in that entire city of 1 million people. It just lacks a Christian witness in this entire city that just needs the gospel. People that need to know the Lord. You know, despite the challenges that there are there, we imagine a day when Central Mexico is no longer referred to as the heart of darkness. You know, as followers of Christ, we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 says that we are God's own possession, that he purchased us at the cross. And so it doesn't matter where we live in this world or what we do as a profession. God has chosen you, if you are a follower of Christ, God has chosen you to declare his goodness. And we need to take that seriously and realize that he purchased us with his blood. We are chosen. We are his possession. Not to enjoy just Christianity, enjoy a relationship with Jesus, but to declare his goodness. It's exciting to see how God's moving in the hearts of our Mexican pastors and leaders and how the vision for reaching the lost is growing throughout this region. And so I want to invite you to participate. To not only participate with us, but to participate in what God's doing around the world. And first of all, is through prayer. And I ask specifically that you would pray with us, or pray for us, for wisdom, that God would grant us the wisdom to know how to communicate the gospel in this context, that God would give us discernment of the spiritual forces that are at work, and give us understanding and reaching people and how to contextualize the gospel in this culture, that you would pray for a spiritual awakening in the heart of darkness, that you would pray that people living in this area would come to understand the significance of the cross and the empty grave. This area is very Catholic, who have an understanding of the cross and of the empty grave. They believe these things, but what they lack is the understanding and the significance of those things. And because they lack an understanding of how significant the cross is and how significant the empty grave is, they look to other things. That's why the Mary, the mother of Jesus, is a big thing there. They look to Mary to be that mediator. As Mike said, Jesus is our mediator, right? And so when they lack to see the significance of these things, they put their trust and their faith in other things. And so pray with us that God would give them understanding of the gospel message. Secondly, invites you to give, invest in what God is doing around the world. I want to read a quick verse. It's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. And this is Paul writing, and he says, "Even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again." So once and again, he's talking about this multiple gifts. "You sent aid once and again for my necessity. But listen to what he says. Not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that accumulates to your account." That is so significant. Listen, Paul is saying that he was thanking them that you gave to me, not just once, but you gave again. And this is, you gave to my necessity. But he was saying, it wasn't that I was desiring your gift because I need the money. We understand that ministry takes money and we need to invest. We need to tithe. We need to give to the local church. We give to missions that God's kingdom would be expanded around the world. We all get that. But Paul is saying that it's not that I desired the gift, but rather I desire the fruit that accumulates your account. When you give, when you tithe, the fruit of this church, the fruit of the ministry is accumulated to your spiritual account. That's why giving and investing in the local church is so important. It's not about the money. It's about participating in what God is doing. When you give to missions, the fruit of the ministry around the world is accumulated to your spiritual account. Paul could care less about the money. He understood where his provision came. He understood that no matter what, God was going to take care of him. But he's saying, you should give because then you can share in the fruit of the ministry. That's why we need to tithe. That's why we need to give. Not because we need the money, but because it's better that the fruit of the ministry is accumulated to your account. You miss out on the fruit of the ministry when you hold back the gift, when you hold back a tithe. And so I encourage you, give like you've never given before. If you do not tithe, make today the first day you tithe. Begin to give what God has, to give back what God has already given you. and see what God does. I want to challenge you to not only that the children and the youth give to BGMC and Speed to Life, but that you participate with them, that you work together and show the students and show the young children that you care about what they care about as well. That giving to BGMC is important. That giving to Speed to Light is important. Again, it's not so much about getting the things that BGMC provides and Speed to Light provides, but that the children would learn that the fruit of the ministry will be accumulated to their spiritual account. This is so significant that we need to grasp. What if there was 100% participation in regards to giving in this church? What if every single person would tithe? What if every person made a commitment to give to missions? Imagine how Calvary Church could touch this community and touch the nations for the glory of God. And then third, I invite you to come. I invite you to come and serve with us. Maybe that means serving with us in Mexico, or it means being a missionary colleague and serving somewhere around the world. I don't believe that God has called everyone to be a missionary. But I do believe that God is calling missionaries today. He is still calling missionaries today. He's calling missionaries from many other countries to go to other places. But in the American church, we need to continue to realize that God is still calling American Christians, American believers, to go to the mission field. And perhaps there are missionaries sitting in this room today that feel the Spirit's nudge to take that step into a lifetime of missions. And if that's you, with the Holy Spirit's help this morning, I'm not going to speak for much longer, but I want to challenge you. As we look at the life of Abraham just for a few minutes, I want to challenge you to respond to that missionary call. As I said, God began to call me into missions as a young child. I had this desire that just grew with me all throughout my years. And I believe that there are children or there are youth here or maybe some adults that God has called to missions. My challenge with the Holy Spirit's help is that you would respond to that today. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Is the beginning of Abraham's call. And the call of Abraham in Genesis, in many ways, is like the missionary call. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says this: Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country, your family, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. It was going from and going to. I will make of you a great nation. That's a promise. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And that's a promise. Verse 3, I will bless them who bless you and curse him who curses you. And all the families of the earth will be blessed. First of all, Abraham's call involved leaving his country. Involved leaving his home. You know, leaving includes leaving family. It includes leaving your home. It includes leaving a way of life. How we do things in this culture, whatever culture you grow up in, how you do things becomes second nature. You don't even know why we do things or why. I think of when I first went to Guatemala. One time I got on a bus and the bus was packed. And then you don't pay when you get on the bus. You pay after you get on the bus and you're sitting or standing or whatever just to fit on the bus. And then the biggest guy on that's working with the bus company crawls through the aisle in between everybody to collect everybody's money. It's like, why do we do that? They don't know why they do it. It's just what they've always done. It's worked for them and they just continue. But it seems to me it would make more sense to collect money when you get on the bus. But as an American, you can go and tell them that, but they're like, that doesn't make any sense. This is how we do it. And so, you know, the way we do things is second nature to us. And when God calls you to be a missionary, and I believe there's somebody here who needs to hear that when God calls you, It includes leaving those things. It includes leaving your home, your family, the things you're used to, what you eat, how you do things, how you interact with people. But you know, the missionary call includes a different plan and a different purpose. The missionary call, I want to emphasize, I'll probably say it over and over, that the missionary call isn't any more special than any other call. It's just different. It's just a different call. God calls us to many different things. This is, I'm speaking specifically about the missionary call this morning. The only way God could accomplish his purpose through Abraham was for him to leave his home and his family. He could not accomplish, God called Abraham to leave and to go. And he also promised him some things. But God's purpose in Abraham could not be accomplished if he had not left. It was not for where he was. It was for where God had called him to. And the same is for the missionary. That God calls the missionary for a different plan and a different purpose. That cannot be accomplished by staying, but it can only be accomplished by going. Secondly, God promised Abraham a special land. And like Abraham, God promises the missionary a special land. It was in 2000, God placed a love in my heart for Mexico. I love Mexico. I love the people, the food, the culture. And over the years, it became very clear to me that my special land was Mexico. And often people think it's because of my wife, and really, I'm pulling her back to Mexico. Not really. She loves Mexico. It's her home. She grew up there. It wasn't until after we got married that we moved to the United States, and that she moved to the United States. And but she has such a love and a heart for ministry. But my love and for Mexico is really what's brought us back to Mexico. And it's not my wife, it's me that I love Mexico so much that I married one. And so it just became a plus that that it worked out that way. But God calls us to a special land. And I think there's a fear out there that if I respond to the missionary call, God will send me somewhere I'm going to hate. And you know, God will, sometimes he will call you to places that might be hostile to the gospel. That may be dangerous, that may not have the conveniences of the United States or the medical care that we get here. God may call you to places like that. But I also believe that wherever God calls you to go, he will give you a love for the people. The Holy Spirit will work in your heart to see people the way that he sees them. And that you would begin to carry that burden and that love that God has in his heart, in your own heart. And that you will love those people and see people the way that God sees them. And you begin to just love the culture and with all the good things about the culture and all the even the imperfections of the culture. You'll just begin to embrace it. And it will frustrate you, but there will be this love. And maybe God has already placed a love in your heart for a specific people. A specific nation. God calls the missionary to a special land. Next, Abraham's call included not only an earthly land, but also a heavenly one. You know, we must maintain an eternal perspective. Because if we lose an eternal perspective, we will lose the vision of reaching lost people. And that's a word for all of us. For Abraham realized that although he had to leave his home, and even though God called him to a special land, that where he was from and where he was going was really just temporary. That he had a heavenly home. And the same is true for the missionary. That although you have to leave, you have an obligation when God calls you to leave your home and to go to that special land, that it's temporary. That you have a heavenly home. And when you remember that you have a heavenly home, that eternal perspective will remain in your heart. And you'll continue to reach lost people. Because you realize that even though I'm here, this is their temporary home as well. And they have an eternal home that will either be in heaven or hell. And we need to reach them so that they will join me in my eternal home as well. But the same is true for all of us. Whether we have a missionary call or not, we're just passing through, that this is temporary, and we all have an eternal home. Abraham realized his ultimate home was not on earth. He realized he was the outsider living in a foreign land. And the missionary is an outsider living in a foreign land, trying to learn the language, trying to learn the customs of the people, and just learning about the culture. How well the missionary speaks the language or how well they understand the culture, they're always an outsider living in a foreign land. And that's okay, but that's just the way it is. That there is a heavenly home waiting for them. Your investment in the foreign land of your calling is for an eternal purpose. And finally, Abraham's call included both promises and obligations. God promised Abraham many things. He promised to bless Abraham. He blessed him in many, many different ways. God promised Abraham many descendants that he didn't see in his lifetime, but God had promised that to him. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And these promises were fulfilled because Abraham obeyed God. God called him and he was obligated to leave. Abraham's call included both obligations and promises. God promised him, but he was obligated. He had to leave to be able to see those promises fulfilled. And even Abraham didn't see those promises fulfilled. Not all of them fulfilled in his life. But as we get to look and read the scriptures, we see how God fulfilled his promises that he gave Abraham all those years ago and how God fulfilled those promises. But it required Abraham to leave. The promises will never be fulfilled in the life of the missionary if they do not leave their home. If God has promised you a special land to give your life to as a follower of Jesus Christ, man, you have an obligation to go. You have an obligation to be obedient, to respond in obedience, and to respond to the missionary call. If you know God has called you to be a missionary, if you believe that God has placed this missionary call upon your life, be encouraged today. And know that as you take those steps of obedience, God will provide for you. He will give you everything you need. This love and this heart for a special land, a special people will continue to grow. And the Holy Spirit will give you guidance and wisdom as you take that journey. There are missionaries needed everywhere in the world today. As you talk with missionaries, and no matter where they are, they all say, man, we need more missionaries. There's just so much work to do that we don't have nearly enough missionaries. In Mexico alone, we need missionaries to work with university students. We have one missionary couple working with university students, and it's the only Assemblies of God ministry on a campus. In Mexico City, there at the university, I believe it's 250,000 students at the main university, and there's not a ministry at the university. We need missionaries to help develop strong children's ministries in our churches. Missionaries with pastoral giftings who will be there to encourage and just be with Mexican pastors. Missionaries who are effective teachers to teach in the Bible institutes. Missionaries who will plant churches and work alongside the national church and training church planters to pastor those churches. Now, I've heard it said that there are three types of Christians. Those who go, those who send, and those who are disobedient. In reality, there's probably only two types of followers of Jesus Christ. There are those who go and those who send. Because followers of Jesus, as I talked about what Vision 2020 was, it's aligning ourselves with God's vision. When we align ourselves behind Jesus and we follow Jesus, Jesus is going and he's sending. The one prayer request Jesus requested of his disciples is that they would pray for more workers. Jesus is going and he's sending. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we will either go or we will send. Oswald J. Smith, he was a pastor in Canada, but before he was a pastor, he wanted to be a missionary. Every time he went to the mission field, he would get sick. And eventually the doctors told him that his immune system, he had a problem with his immune system. In a lot of these countries where they didn't have the medical care, they said, if you go, you're going to get so sick, you're going to die. There's just not enough care. And so he had to give up this dream of being a missionary. And he started pastoring a church in Canada. And this church over time became really just an example of giving to missions and participating with God and what he's doing around the world. His church became a very strong missions-giving church, became a strong voice for missions over the years. But Oswald J. Smith said, any church not involved in the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist. Any church not involved in the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist. That's true for a body of believers, but you know what? We are the church. And you could change that to say any person not involved in the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to belong to Jesus. Because when we align ourselves with Jesus, we are either going or we're sending. Listen, the church exists because of mission. We didn't create a mission. The church didn't create a mission. The church was birthed by the Holy Spirit because Jesus gave us a mission. The church is the vehicle to work out the mission in our communities and around the world. We all share this responsibility of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. The Great Commission or missions is not the responsibility of the mission alone. Rather, it is a mission that we participate together. The church, every single person. That's why we have the children give to BGMC and the teens give to Speed the Light and the adults continue to invest so that we can have missionaries on the field. We all participate together because we understand that it's not just for a specific part. It's not just for a part of the church. It's for the church, the entire church. The Great Commission was given to the church. Some go while others send. The responsibility belongs to all of us. But today I'm calling those of you who have been called to go. If you have the missionary call upon your life, you must be willing to leave your home, your family, your culture, and what you're used to and what you're used to doing. You must be willing to go to the special land that God calls you to go. You must be willing to do what God calls you to do in that area in order to see his promises fulfilled. And if you're willing to do that, if you're willing to be obedient, God will be glorified in and through your life and among the people you're called to reach. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are still calling individuals and families to serve you around the world. God, I pray for those in this room who maybe carried this burden for years. Maybe they're teens and they have this desire and their time will come. But Lord, I pray that you would just continue to cultivate that desire in their hearts. Pray for the adults in this room that to go would require a change in occupation and it would mean selling things that they've maybe built up for years. Lord, I pray that you would clarify your call in their life and that maybe today they would say, you know what, I need to begin to take that step. Lord, I pray for those in this room. Maybe there's somebody in here today that is at the point where they're ready and they need to take that step. God, I pray that you confirm that in them, that they would speak to their pastors or they speak to those around them to be an encouragement. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us, that even though we may not have the missionary call, God, I pray that they would not stifle a call in someone's life, but they would be somebody that would speak life into them, that would speak just truth and be an encouragement to those that have been called. Lord, I ask that you would continue to use Calvary Church to be a blessing to the nations, that they would give more to missions than they have ever given before, that this church would be resourced to be a blessing to this community. God, you bless us just like you blessed Abraham to be a blessing. And I pray that that would be our heart's desire, each one of us, that as you bless us, we would use what you've given us to be a blessing. I pray that your anointing would be upon this church and those here who consider themselves followers of Jesus Christ to be a blessing in their community, to be a blessing in their home, to be a blessing at their job. We just ask, Lord, that great things for Calvary Church would happen in these days and these years to come. We thank you for this beautiful facility that they've been able to build. Lord, I pray that it would be a beacon, not just the building, but the people would be a beacon to this community, that they would reach more people, that there would be just an outpouring of your spirit upon this church to bring you glory in Marinette. In Jesus' name, amen.